2 Kings chapter 4, I trust your heart's been thrilled as you're singing about our Saviour tonight. What a wonderful Saviour we have to proclaim. What a wonderful friend we have as believers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming now to this passage as we continue our study in the life of Elisha. And if I could give a title to the message tonight, it would be God Meets Great Needs. Our God meets great needs. And if you're here with a need tonight, spiritual need in your life, God can meet you tonight at the point of your need. Verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, my two sons, to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed or stopped. Then she came and told the man of God and said, He said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the precious living word of God. Speak to our hearts tonight. Oh Lord, minister to us. Oh Lord, we pray that thy speaking voice will be heard in each heart tonight. And not only will thy voice be heard, but thy voice will be obeyed. Empty me of self and sin, I pray, Lord. How I need thee, I confess that freely before thee tonight. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray. I ask thee to give me help to proclaim thy truth for the edification of this people and even all the salvation of precious souls. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. And amen. In our previous studies in the life of Elisha, we have seen that his ministry and miracles often were centered around a number of people or groups of people. For example, whenever the River Jordan parted, he was standing beside the sons of the prophets, or they were standing actually on the other side, and they watched him do that miracle. And that showed to them that he was God's chosen leader of the sons of the prophets, now that Elijah had been taken to heaven. Whenever the water source of Jericho was cleansed and the water made drinkable, that was done for the city of Jericho. The provision of the water in the ditches for Israel that we learned about in our last study, that was for Israel, for Judah, and for Edom's armies. So these miracles really impacted many, many people each time. However, as we come to chapter 4 of 2 Kings, we are brought to a very small family, and specifically in verse number 1, to an individual, a certain woman. And here we have the person in need in verse number 1. And this lady approaches the prophet of God. And indeed, this is an action that shows she desires to know God's will for her circumstances. Remember, they did not have the Bible in the printed form that we have at this time. They would have had, of course, the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. But certainly, if they wanted to know something of God's guidance, God used spokesmen, prophets, and they were effectively the Bible of the day. And when people came to speak to them, and as they spoke, they were speaking not their words, but the words of God. So this lady effectively turned to the Lord, turned to the Word of God, turned to the voice of God by going to the prophet to share her need. Friend, that's exactly what we need to do in our times of need. We need to go to the Lord. We can worry and worry and worry and worry and worry. And it's riding like riding a bicycle whose wheels are not touching the ground. You're exerting a lot of energy, but you're going nowhere. That's what worry is. It's a waste of time. And therefore, we need to, as the people of God, remember that when we are in times of need, there's a God who wants to hear our cry. There's a God who can answer our cry. There's a God who can meet our need. And therefore, we've the privilege to come before him. What was her need? Well, she had been recently widowed. Her husband was a faithful member of the Sons of the Prophets. He had died, and there was a major problem with his death, because upon his death, it was revealed that there was a debt that had been run up. This man had run up a debt. He wasn't able to pay the man that he owed before he died. Now, the two sons of this woman were evidently not old enough to assume responsibility for the debt or to come to the position as the head of the house. And therefore, the practice of the day was that if there was a debt that could not be paid, the person who was a debtor, or his family members, as in this case his sons, would work for the person to whom they owed money. And if you look at verse number 1, it says at the end, the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. Now it's important to really know something about that word bondsmen. They were not going to be taken as slaves. They were not going to be taken as slaves, but bondsmen. The law of the Lord did not permit a Jew to have another Jewish person as a slave. However, they were to be taken into the home. They were to be treated well as they worked off their debt. This is completely different to slavery. This is someone doing an honest day's work to pay off a debt that they owed. Now, as soon as the debt was paid, they were free to leave. They were no longer under the creditor's authority. Or, if the year of Jubilee came, that's the 50th year, that was a year of freedom in the land. And all who were bondsmen, all who were slaves, were set free in the land. And therefore, if that came first before the debt was paid off, the person could return back to their home. So the problem was not that her sons were going to be taken and be badly treated or become slaves. But the problem was she had just lost her husband, her helpmate. Her family is now going to be separated and she's going to lose her two sons. They're not going to be there to help her and she's going to be isolated in the midst of her grief. And here's a lady who is in mourning. She's unable to pay her debt. Her prospects are very fearful, humanly speaking. But what does she do? She seeks a word from the Lord. She seeks a word from the Lord. She wanted spiritual guidance. You know, this lady's condition reminds me of the picture of the sinner. Because everyone in this meeting tonight who is not saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb is partially like this lady. Because we are in great need. Those who are not saved, you're in great need tonight. There is no greater need than to have the matter of your sin dealt with. There is no greater need in your life than to have forgiveness of sins. Like this woman, the sinner is also in great debt. We're in great debt to the Lord because of the sins that we have done and committed, because of the life of sin that we have lived. And this debt can never, never, never be settled by man. The debt of sin can never be settled by man. We can't work toward the Lord hoping to pay off the debt of our sin. We can't try and please the Lord that we will say, well, I'm not a sinner anymore because I've done enough. We cannot do that. But praise the Lord, there's one who took our place on the cross of Calvary. And he said, Father, I'll go and I'll pay the debt upon the cross. My blood will be shed for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And that's why the Lord is able to say that he will blot out our transgressions. He will cast our sins behind his back. He will forgive and he will not remember our sins. Why? Because his son died on the cross of Calvary and paid the debt that we could never pay. I wonder tonight as you sit in this meeting, are you able to say, my sins are in the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. My sins are washed away. My sins are no more on my account. because Christ has borne them all. Not only do we see this lady's problem, but we see the prophet approached. In verse number 2, and she came to Elisha because Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" Now, she knew that God had used this man previously. He was the prophet of God at this time. And because of that, she sought his help. And as I look at how Elisha dealt with this lady, I think there's some practical lessons that we can learn as believers on how we deal with those who come to us as Christians for help. The first thing you will notice about this man is that he showed compassion. He showed compassion to her. He listened to her. He took time. He didn't brush her off as not being important. But the woman made her need known, and he took time to listen to her and to speak to her. And there's a very simple but yet a very important lesson here. Never be too busy. Never be too busy for someone who makes a need known unto you. If someone has a need that they want to speak to you about, don't you be too busy. Parents, don't be too busy to listen to your children. Spouses, don't be too busy to listen to your husband or to your wife. Friend, don't you be too busy to listen to your friend who's made a need known to you. Show compassion. Show kindness and show love. And often the greatest way we can show compassion to those in need is by listening to the need. But not only did he show compassion, he spoke honestly. He said in verse number 2, "What shall I do for thee?" You see, she was in a great problem here. She had a great difficulty. And I believe that he was declaring he wasn't able to personally help her. There's nothing that he could do. He had not a store of resources, physically speaking, that he could tap into and help this woman in her need. But he could seek God for her. He could seek God for her. We don't always have the answer when people come to us with needs. We don't always have the right thing to say. And sometimes if we don't know what to say, it's better saying nothing at all than saying just the first thing that pops into our head. Better to say, "I don't know what you should do right now, but I will pray for you. I will pray for you." And I believe that's what Elisha did. What can I do? But he sought the Lord. And then that's the third thing we see about his life. He brought a word from the Lord. You see, he was God's spokesman for that hour. He was God's spokesman for that hour. And the difference that came to this woman's life was because the Lord had a word through his servant. Perhaps in a time of need, a verse, maybe spoken to a friend, sent in a text message, somehow communicate it to them. How precious it is. Not your advice, but the word of God. And you know, in times of distress, and in times of great need, and in times of great despair, people may not be able to listen to a long sermon or concentrate enough to a great discourse. But just a word in season. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And isn't it wonderful in our times of need, child of God, whenever we've come to the Bible, we felt exhausted, we felt tired, we felt weary, but we opened up the book and there was a word, just a little word, just a few words, just a sentence, just a verse, and that refreshed us and revived us and blessed us, because God always has a word in season for his people. I'm glad this woman sought a word from the Lord because she received a word from the Lord. Dear discouraged one tonight, dear weary one tonight, dear one who is seeking God's guidance in their life tonight, God has a word from you. Are you going to seek for it? Are you going to ask the Lord to speak to you? So we've seen the problem here and the prophet approached. But thirdly, look at the probing, because in verse number 2, Elisha says, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" What hast thou in the house? And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." The Hebrew would signify that this was a little cruse of oil. This was not a great big pot. This was a little pot. Most likely because of the word used to describe the oil, it was anointing oil. that was used in the priesthood ministry. And therefore, this is all she had. She wasn't a rich lady. She didn't have lots of things to turn to. She just had this little thing in her house. Her answer basically was, I've nothing but this little pot of oil. And let's be honest, it seemed insignificant. And it seemed insufficient. And as I thought about this, I thought if the disciple Andrew had been there at this time and looked at what she brought forward, he might have had the same attitude he had when he brought the little lad with the loaves and the fish. He said, what are these among so many? But you see, it's so important. It is so important to have the right vision and the right perspective. Because you see, we see in this lady's house a small pot. God sees a great blessing ahead. Think of a field on the outskirts of town. It depends who's looking at it as to what they see. The architect looks at that field and he sees the potential for houses. The farmer looks at that field and he sees the potential for grazing or for crops. But God looked upon that field. And God saw a place where there was going to be a work established. And where many precious souls were going to come into his family by saving grace through the preaching of the word of God. How do I know that? Because we're sitting in this field today. And yet for years people went up and down that road and there was nothing in this field, just a field. But I'll tell you, little things are great when they're used by God. Little things are great when they are used by God. And maybe you feel, dear believer, that you're insignificant. You're unusable. No one is insignificant in the work of God. Nothing is too small to be used of God. No one is too small to be used of God. As we learned this morning, people can be too great. I can just attend the church. Maybe that's what you feel. Well, friend, the Lord will use you as a mighty testimony. A mighty testimony to your community as you come to God's house, as a mighty encouragement to your church family and to your pastor to see you sitting in the pew. What a great work that is. That little work for the Lord, attending the house of God. I can just give, but I'll tell you, the Lord can take that with the money that others have given and take that money that you've given, maybe just that pound, maybe just that £5, and it goes across the world to keep a missionary on the field that maybe they'll maybe be able to have purchase the tracts that will be given to the people in the land that will bring them to Christ. I can just pray. Friend, you don't just pray. That's a great thing. That's engaged in the greatest work that a Christian can engage in. And that's what I'm saying. We need to be careful with how we view things. This lady viewed just a little pot. But that was going to be the blessing of God. And you say, I can just attend church. I can just give into the offering. I can just pray. Those are great things when they're done in the name of the Lord and with a sincere and genuine heart. I can just give a lift. That's all I can do for the Lord. And if you can give a lift to someone to the house of God, what a great thing that is to the one who receives it. And how greatly that can be used of the Lord. I read a testimony in a little book this week about a man in Liverpool, or his young boy in Liverpool actually, at the age of 10, his parents both died. And he was sent to an orphanage. And in that orphanage, he was taught some scripture, some things about the Lord, not really the gospel, but some knowledge about God. But the main object of the orphanage was to prepare the boys for life and how to live in the world. And he thought about the things of God a little while, and even as a young boy, he wrote a poem about God. And whenever this poem had been written, one of the workers in the orphanage saw it. And he thought, that's very good. That's very good for a young boy that age. And it was published in the Liverpool Echo. And that's a newspaper over there in Liverpool. There was a woman from Canada over on her holidays. And she saw a copy of the newspaper, read the poem. I thought, that's a great poem. I want to publish that in the school magazine of the school that I work in Canada. She published it in the school magazine after getting permission from the orphanage to do so. And that school magazine was given to various people and family members to see their children in it. And this lady read down that poem and saw the boy's name and got the contact details for the boy. And she got a little parcel and she wrote a little letter saying, "I really enjoyed your poem. It was well written. And I trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior," and simply shared the gospel in a small letter. She got some sweets and put them together in a package and sent it to the little boy over in Liverpool. He opened the package. He was more interested in the sweets than the letter. He sent a letter thanking her, and he wrote a verse in the Bible because she was praising him for talking about the Lord. He wasn't saved. And this woman kept corresponding with this little boy. As he grew up, she kept corresponding. He got married, she corresponded. He had children, she corresponded. He went to war, she corresponded with him. And during the time of him being in the war, those letters came to his mind. And the Lord worked in his heart through those letters and through another man in the army, and he came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote to tell the lady about his conversion. And she said, "You know, I've been writing to you for 20 years. And just this week I was about to take your name off the list, because it seemed to be that you weren't going to come to Christ." And as he talked to her and as he discussed, she said, "All I can do is write letters for the Lord." She wasn't a big preacher. She wasn't a well-known believer. But she took her pen and a piece of paper, and the Lord used it for the salvation of precious souls. Little things, whether it's little objects, little people in significance, or little talents, they are great in the hands of the Lord. You know, all this lady had was a little object and the promise of God. Then the plan was revealed in verse number 3. "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Action was required here. She had to go. She wasn't just going to sit in the house and everybody do the work for her. But the Lord gave her an instruction to go. She was going to be part of the solution according to the commands of God. And not only was she to go, there was faith required here. She had to borrow. One Bible commentator said this was a test of both her faith and her obedience. Spurgeon said she did what she was commanded to do. She did it in faith, and the result answered at the end. God takes care to deliver his servants in ways that exercise their faith. And humanly speaking, this seems strange. I'm going to borrow a multitude of vessels, jars, pots, and I have nothing to put in them. Humanly speaking, it seems strange. Maybe even it seems foolish. But if God tells you to gather empty vessels, God's going to fill them. If God tells you to dig ditches, God's going to fill them. If God tells you to prepare your heart for service, God's going to send a blessing. And if God has called you to work, then God is going to use you. And praise God, this lady acted in faith. It was to be done immediately, and it was to be done privately. This was not to be done in a public arena. Many miracles were, but this one wasn't. She was to be closed into her house alone, shut in with the Lord. And she was to take the little that she had and pour it. And friend, that took faith, because when that was poured out, humanly speaking, she had nothing left. She had nothing left. When God reveals his will, obey it carefully. Obey it gladly. Obey it with expectancy. And what happened in that room was a miracle of God. It was a miracle of God. And that little cruse was tipped out, and it filled the greater vessel, and it filled the next vessel, and it filled the next vessel, and the next vessel. God provided miraculously. How often he provides in unexpected ways. I'm sure every single believer here could stand up and tell me of at least once in their life when there was a time of need and God met the need, God provided a miraculous way that they had never thought about before. Then why are we doubting him tonight? Why are we fearful tonight that we're not going to come out of this problem? Why are we doubting him that the Lord is not going to send blessing and that we're not going to see souls saved mightily by his grace? Friend, we need to empty our hearts of doubt and get back to the promises of God. And remember, God's word cannot fail. And if we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. Not only was it a miraculous provision, it was a sufficient supply, because the oil flowed out of that little cruse until the last vessel was filled. There wasn't any waste. When the last vessel was filled, the oil stopped. God had it perfectly supplied, and it met the specific need. The problem was brought to God, and he met the need. I think my favorite verse in Scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I say to you tonight, whatever that need is, God will supply. But you'll notice something else about this provision. It had to be used carefully, and it had to be used specifically. Verse 7, go and sell the oil, that's the first thing. Secondly, pay the debt. Thirdly, live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, there's a couple of principles, practical principles, that I think we need to remind ourselves of. We are to pay debts whenever we incur them, when it's in our means to do so. The Lord could have dealt with this problem without that woman having to pay back the debt. But it's a biblical principle that we do pay our debts, and therefore we ought to seek to do that when we have means to do so. But I think there's another thing here in verse number 7. Go sell the oil, pay thy debts, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And therefore, the very fact that little statement is said, of the rest, this woman had to look at what was left and had to live accordingly. And therefore, there's a lesson for us. We are not to live extravagantly or carelessly with our money. We're to be careful with it. We're to plan. We're to prepare. We're to put aside for future, and we are to use. Well, that's not to say you can't spend money. Certainly not. But it certainly means we need to be careful with what we have and not be extravagant with it. We need to tithe and give on to the Lord. And these things are especially important for Christians, for our testimony and for Christ's sake. And I would say also this, it's also proper and right to be financially honest. If we owe someone and they maybe forget about it, you go and make sure it's paid to that person, even though they've forgotten about it. Or maybe they say, oh, don't worry about it. Be honest about it and pay it. And your taxes, be honest. In your help from social services, be honest. You can't make false claims, or you can't try and get won over on the government and then expect the blessing of God. No, we need to be honest as Christians and straight as Christians. A few things as we close our meeting tonight. What if this lady had never gone to the prophet? What if this lady had never sought a word from the Lord? What would have happened? Well, she would have experienced great loss. Her two sons would have been taken from her. She would still have her problem, because nobody else was able to help her. And thirdly, she would be living in despair when all the while there was a God who was able to deliver her. The reason this lady was delivered in her circumstances was because God meets great needs. Whenever the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in slavery and bondage. They needed freedom, but they couldn't set themselves free. But God meets great needs, and God set them free. When they were in the wilderness, they needed sustenance, they needed food, they needed water. But God meets great needs, and God provided for them. They needed guidance on how to go forward, and God meets great needs, and God showed them the way forward. They needed victory whenever they come into the promised land to defeat the enemies. But God meets great needs, and God gave all these things. So why should we doubt the Lord tonight? Believer, the God who delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, who protected them, who sustained them, who gave them victory, he is the same God that we worship tonight. And there's nothing too difficult for him. Maybe a Christian, you're here tonight and you need guidance. Maybe you need strength. Maybe you need boldness to tell others about the Lord. Maybe you need help to say no to sin. Maybe there's something in your life that's besetting and you just can't get victory over it. Our God meets great needs. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear in your life. And our God meets great needs. Come before him. Tell the Lord your need. Backslider tonight in this meeting, you have a great need. You need a restoration of the joy of the Lord in your soul. You need to come back to walk in fellowship with the Lord. Yes, you're saved. Friend, what influence is your life having in your community? In your church, in your family, are you saying by the life that you live, the Lord isn't worth my best? Your coldness and your sinning needs to be brought before the Lord and confess and say, Lord, forgive me. Give me your best tonight. It's too hard. I've gone too long. I'm too far back. I couldn't come back to the place that I was. God meets great needs. Don't sit any longer. Don't wait any longer. Don't waste any more. But come to him. And then we've unsaved, sitting in this meeting tonight, unsaved, watching at home. A friend, the greatest need of your soul cannot be met by me or any other preacher. The greatest need of your soul cannot be met by any church. The greatest need of your soul can be met tonight by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you turn from your sin, your foolish thoughts, your attitudes, your opposition against the Lord, when you repent of those things and say, I believe Jesus saves. His blood makes me whiter than snow. And Lord, I'm coming now to trust thee with all of my heart because I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be right with God. I want to be ready for heaven. And I'll tell you, the Lord, the same Lord, the same God who changed that woman's home can change your life tonight. He can change your life tonight. And there's one final thought I have here tonight. What a challenge it was to my heart. God fills empty vessels. God fills empty vessels. That was a requirement of the vessels that were brought. They weren't to be filled with anything else. Why? Because they were to be filled with oil. And of course, oil is a symbol in Scripture of the Holy Spirit. And that's how God meets our need, by his word and by his Spirit. And God fills empty vessels. And I'm speaking here to Christians tonight. And we, as God's people, need to empty our hearts and empty ourselves of so much that God might have full control. Self-sufficiency, it needs to go out the window. You may be gifted in many ways, but you need the Spirit of God to be spiritually strong. And therefore, Lord, save me from self-sufficiency. There's nothing I can do that will bring glory to thee. Fill me with thy Spirit. Pride needs to go out the window. We need to empty ourselves of pride. And how difficult that is Not that we very much to be proud of, but maybe we see something done for the Lord, or maybe we go well with the Lord for a little while and it starts to well up within our hearts, and then we're doing the very thing the Lord has told us not to do. We ought only to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, take pride out of my life that I might be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you think there's room for the Lord to have full control when you're full of pride? No. My friend, we need to get sin out of our lives, and I'm talking to believers here. Maybe bitterness, maybe hatred, maybe lust, maybe deceit. Whatever the sin is, you fill in the blank. If there's something in your life that's not right before God, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, does not have all there is of you. He is not having full authority over your life. You're not on the altar. You're not in the place where God can mightily use you and make you to be a blessing. But God does fill empty vessels. And believer tonight, if you will come and say, Lord, emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand with no power, but as thou givest graciously at each command, you'll be able to sing channels only, because that's what we are. Blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. And I'll tell you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God tonight, if you're surrendered to Him, if He is all there is to have of you, the Lord will use you this very hour. My friend, if you want to know what my humble opinion is that we need in Northern Ireland, having watched the farce of what has taken place in our governments, not just over the last week, over the last years, where wickedness and sin has been promoted and exalted, the answer is that the people of God would be emptied of all, filled with Christ. And I say that because there's too many people, Christian people. Oh, they need to do this and they need to do that. And they need to do this, and they need to do that, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And they've all the answers. Friend, they're full of all their self-wisdom. And that needs to stop. And we need to be filled with Christ. We don't need people dictating what governments need to do or not do. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God and get the ear of God in the place of prayer. And I'll tell you, the Lord will move him. And we certainly don't need people telling others what they should and should not do. Oh, friend, what would it be in our land if all the people of God took their eyes off the politicians? I said, Lord, I believe the only hope for our land tonight is found alone and a revival of true religion in the hearts of God's people. Living right, worshipping right, praying right. What does the Lord say to the believer tonight? Give me thy heart. My hope tonight is in Christ. My hope is in Christ. I trust that the Lord will bless our land with good governance. I trust He'll bless it with a rise of bringing the righteous into authority. But should the most evil sit in the place of power in this land, I will endeavour, and I trust you will too, that I'll be filled with the Spirit of God. And He will be the authority. He will be the authority to which I submit. May God grant it to be tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. Friend, maybe you haven't ever realized that this is the greatest need of your life. Maybe you've never been brought to this place before where you have thought, I need to be saved. Otherwise, I'm going out into lost eternity. Well, friend, tonight the Lord can meet you at the point of your need where you're sitting at in that meeting, or where you're sitting at in that pew, I should say, bow your head and calling the Lord to save you. Backslider. How many more years are you going to waste? And the Lord can put the matter right tonight. Christian, will you say, Lord, have all of me that there is to have. Fill me, Lord, afresh with thy Spirit, because there's only one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, we bow before thee tonight, and we realize that we're in the presence of a holy God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the miracle that we have studied tonight in the life of Elisha, in that God, through his servant, met the need of this dear lady. And Lord, the despair was turned to joy. And the fear was turned to hope. And the mourning was turned to gladness. Because she came to the Lord and obeyed the commands of God. Oh, what peace we forfeit. Oh, what joy we forfeit. Oh, what blessings we forfeit. Because we do not go through with God. I pray tonight that each believer will resolve before the Lord, I'm going through. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, no matter what others do. I'll take my place with the Lord's displeased few. Glory to Jesus, I'm going through. Lord, save the sinner tonight. Restore the cold at heart tonight. And set a fire within each of thy people that will burn brightly for Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings of this day. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground. What has been of thee, let it prosper in the way that thou dost choose. For we ask these things in Jesus' name for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen.